Hi folks, I'm Byron Mowat, Lieutenant Governor, and I call this public hearing to order. The purpose of the hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding Citizen Initiative 17FSH2, an act providing for the protection of wild salmon and fish and wildlife habitat, which is appearing on the ballot for the upcoming November 6th general election. This public hearing is required by law.
Hi folks, I'm Byron Mowat, Lieutenant Governor, and I call this public hearing to order. The purpose of the hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding Citizen Initiative 17FSH2, an act providing for the protection of wild salmon and fish and wildlife habitat.
We are recording here, so I might hang up on this one.
I don't particularly enjoy listening to my voice once. I do not want to listen to it twice. So, this recording equipment, it was just to record the testimony and all of what is spoken at this hearing. We have a recording device there. We have no amplification system, so if those of you who choose to testify wish for the audience to hear some of what you are saying, I urge you to speak up. Where was I? Alaska Statute 1545195 requires the Lieutenant Governor to hold two or more public hearings in each judicial district of the state at least 30 days before the Tuesday, November 6th election. Only those attending in person today will be able to testify, but anyone may submit public comment on ballot measure one at any time through the online public notice posted at notice.alaska.gov/189769. The materials from this hearing are also available for viewing and download as part of this public notice. Written comments on ballot measure one may also be mailed to the Office of Lieutenant Governor, P.O. Box 110015, Juneau 99811. Anyone unable to attend a hearing in person will be able to provide oral testimony during a statewide teleconference scheduled for October 13th, 2018.
I'm at the meeting now.
Anyone wishing to testify in person today should sign in using the provided sheet at the entrance to the room. There will be no Q&A or questions and answers as part of today's hearing. Shut your phone off, Robin. There will be no questions and answers as part of today's hearing, but representatives from the Department of Fish and Game, Environmental Conservation, Transportation and Public Facilities and Natural Resources will review the testimony and comments received. And each agency has contributed to a frequently asked questions document, and this FAQ may be updated as a result of the comments received during these hearings. The most current version of the FAQ will always be available through the online public notice for this hearing. We have made arrangements in each of those communities in which translation may be required. And today in Dillingham, we have Ms. Molly Chaitluk as our Yupik interpreter. Let's see, I'm required to let the public know that Molly is a Bristol Bay Native Corporation shareholder, and your husband is on the Bristol Bay Native Corporation board, And regardless of the position BBNC may have taken or not on this ballot measure, we want to assure the public that you are here in an official interpreter's role today and will be translating in a professional capacity. Thank you for your service. I'd like to ask Molly now if she would read the ballot summary, which is an official document summarizing this ballot proposition. To read the summary aloud, she has indicated she wants to read it by sections in English and then translate it to you.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to inform the folks here of our dialectal difference. I'm not sure who translated this document, but if there's dialectal differences that you don't understand, I could probably with the transformation of people moving here and about. I'm sure that even though there's a dialectal differences in this, the Yupik section, that we'll be able to understand. But looking, observing the audience, I don't see too many people that would be, right now, would be wanting to do a Yupik testimony. But I'll go ahead and read the English version first, and then the Yupik version. An act providing for the protection of wild salmon and fish and wildlife habitat. Akan Clooney Loon Nucknick, Guimal Rannick, Feet to Noon Neatney, Bidaka to Noon Neatney. This act would admit Alaska fish habitat permitting law. Boom Alcott Nuxungal Rame, Giduk Gunnery, Alaskam Alcottai. Gali Gatunsu Alchot Nakut Guimal Reit Fim Knisu Bitach Gatun Nun Neatney. This act would require the Department of Fish and Game, ADF&G, to apply new standards of permitting articles and development projects that have the potential to harm fish habitat. Oom alchot nuchchungal reem, bichich kich kiw gai, yakuliagat liuchst, nutaranik, chukliutnik, gali kachchiriaganun, chimich gout gai nutum, Nunam Ayokutia, Kwasu, Navut Nuach Gaukata, Nakut, Bichich, Bidachkatu, Nunakaitni. The Act would exempt existing projects, operations of facilities that have received all state and federal permits until a new permit is needed. Matum alchotuch chungalrim, chimich gaita akka ayukuflugi chalayat, maguni galigach chumalrit. Nutaram Kaligam Binilgatnun. The Act would create fish and wildlife habitat protection standards. Umalchotungalrim Jukliv Gahani Adorunga Kleanik Gang Yak Gamuk Nakut Pitakatu Nuna Gutni. The standards would address water quality, temperature, stream flow, and more. Damakut ayokun nakhkilgit tapchikait magam minnui gud lakhkait Buklik Javranil Hasu Chakaisun Asat Nakat Nunit Pitakatu Nunak Sunak Sreetu. The Act defines anadromous fish habitat. The Act would allow ADFNG to apply the law of all habitat in Alaska that directly or indirectly support salmon and other anadromous fish. Alaska. Illor Lugu Al Hout Tun Al Hout Jig Lugi Nakat Chirat Awatitlu Igayu Tun The Act would provide for three types of permits for development of anadromous fish habitat. ADFNG could issue a general permit, a single permit that applies to many people for certain activities. The other activities that require a permit, the Act would establish a two-track permitting system. Asat Dawam Nasu Naih Roma Rilritu Abhdut Muknik Huk Nunam Alhgut Kainun Gali Kachir Yag Heat, yum, alchut, jug, Nimi Gilu, Gali Gali Gatun, and Nasunarluku Ukut Malruk. Minor permits would be issued for activities that have little impact on fish habitat. Achchakalreruk, Gali Gatun, Ayuk Gaitun, Navuri Siyar Luki Nakut Azgutulit Skachtakaitnun. Major permits would be issued for projects that have the potential to cause significant adverse effects. Aipahun Achtakalrit Gali Gat. Ayuk Aturi Yuhtut Navgurusia Reakun Navgurusia Reakun. The Act would require ADF&G to avoid or minimize adverse effects through medication measures and permit conditions. Daikanilrea una Achchakat mun Navgurutilrea Alchgut kulrea mun Yakuliagat Kaish Kal Yakuliagat Kalkal Chiyagat Binilrea Yagai Alchgut Jungarilrim, Yakuliagat, Kaish Kalach, Kalach Chi Kata, Binilrea Romi, Alchgut Nuchtulrim, Ugut Yakuliagat, Yakuliagalirst, Ayokutuktukai. It would provide public notice on all permits, chance to comment on major permits. Achchakhaluni yut kanchtar rakata bilhkait nun unat chamachiku. The Act would create criteria, timeframes, and appeals process for the permits by interested persons. Ona alchotnochtu gan galikachtun imiriarak bishiriarach chikwa jimirilugishu Ren Riu Sugu, Jew New Romas Gaitlu, Ivrit Gaitnik, Orin. The Act would allow ADFNG to respond to Pacific conduct with tickets, civil fines, and criminal penalties. The Act would repeal two current statutes, And I guess that's a question. Should this initiative become law?
Okay. Thank you, Molly. Molly will be available if there is anyone present who would like further clarification or have questions on the testimony and would like to discuss it with Molly in UPIC. The order for receiving testimony today shall be a statement of support from the sponsors of the initiative and a statement of opposition. Each will be able to present their full statements. We will then accept testimony from attendees in the order that they signed up to testify. Typically, we've tried to limit the public testimony to 2 minutes per individual. I'm not sure how many sheets we have here. This is it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So we can let folks summarize their statements. We won't be too strict on the 2 minutes, except for a couple people in the room that I know. And I think we'll get through this just fine. And if we have to add time, we will, because the required translation took some of our time. So we will now begin accepting testimony. Do we have an initiative sponsor present to read a statement of support? Gila.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor and fellow Alaskans. My name is Gayla Hossett, and I am one of the co-sponsors to Ballot Measure 1. I also serve as a second chief here at Chilhem Tribal Council here in Dillingham, Alaska. Bristol Bay, our ancestral lands, the home of the largest wild salmon capital of the world. Our salmon have sustained our people for thousands of years. Like many Alaskans, we live off the land, and our rivers and lakes provide for our way of life. We need to have clean water to continue living our traditional ways passed on from generation to generation. All Alaskans have been given the gift of salmon, passed down through generations. Salmon and other related fisheries support a $2 billion annual economy,
32,500 fishing jobs in communities around the state, and a way of life for thousands of Alaskans. In addition, in many areas of the state, our tourism economy is driven by visitors coming to Alaska to fish, hunt, and view wildlife, supporting 43,000 jobs and adding $4.8 billion annually to the economy. It's our duty to protect salmon and all they provide for our families, for our communities, and for all future generations of Alaskans. And that's why I'm speaking in support of Ballot Measure 1. We are at a critical moment in the history of our state. Our salmon runs are mostly intact, but the climate and oceans are changing. Alaska is growing fast, and a new generation of mines, dams, and large projects are bearing down on our communities. Our outdated, ineffective law that is meant to protect salmon habitat will not protect us from the worst effects of mining and overdevelopment on salmon. Now, not when it's perfectly legal for foreign corporations to wipe out salmon spawning and rearing streams and leave a toxic mess there for Alaskans to clean up. We need real science-based standards that will truly balance our salmon fisheries with responsible growth and development. When Alaska became a state, the drafters of the Alaska Constitution even recognized the value of these resources and created directives to protect salmon and other renewable resources. Specifically, Article 8 of the Constitution reserves fish, wildlife, and water to the people of Alaska for common use, directs the state to sustainably utilize and manage and maintain our fisheries and other renewable resources, and directs the legislature to equally prioritize and balance the conservation of natural resources with the state's intent in the utilization and development of them. These constitutional directives serve as the foundation for Alaska's standard of care when managing our salmon resources. Alaska is the last place in the United States that still enjoys healthy and sustainable salmon fisheries. But we can't simply manage harvest and expect our salmon populations to remain strong. We need to also have strong habitat management in place, especially during times of low returns. In tough times, the single most important thing we can do is provide healthy habitat for salmon to come back to. The problem is that Alaska's current fish habitat protection and permitting law is too general to truly balance sustainable fisheries and responsible development. Under the current law, the commissioner shall issue a fish habitat permit unless the plans and specifications are insufficient for the proper protection of fish and game. However, there is no definition of what the proper protection of fish and game means. That means that the current law does not provide the certainty or accountability in a system to ensure that the law will be applied consistently and without political influence. That's why Ballot Measure 1 is so important right now. Ballot Measure 1 offers a proactive solution to strengthen Alaska law and protect salmon streams as Alaska continues to grow. Ballot Measure 1 establishes clear, enforceable standards for development around salmon streams, requiring things like adequate water in streams, fish passage, and clean water that wild salmon need, while also requiring mining companies to pay for cleanup of long-term damage to salmon streams. It creates a two-track permitting system to ensure that projects that pose little threat to fish habitat get a minor permit and are processed quickly. But large mining projects, like the Pebble Mine, are put on the major permit track to receive more scrutiny because they have the potential to damage Alaska's salmon fisheries. Ballot Measure 1 also ensures that Alaskans, for the first time, will have a voice in the permitting process for major development projects that could harm salmon streams. It gives Fish and Game authority over all salmon streams in Alaska. It creates a path for responsible development projects to move forward in a way that protects our wild salmon legacy. Alaska is the last place in the United States that still enjoys healthy and sustainable salmon fisheries. We can look to the lower 48 and we can see what irresponsible development does to salmon. We have the opportunity to get it right. My hope for our future is that we can learn from the past and choose a different path. Protecting our salmon runs for future generation is about as Alaskan as it gets. I hope you will join us and vote yes on ballot measure 1 on November 6th. Thank you.
Thank you. In addition to the sponsor statement, the law requires a statement of opposition. Is there anyone present who would wish to present the statement of opposition? If not,
I just signed up. You want those who oppose Prop 1?
Yeah, there is room for a formal for someone to present a statement of opposition. And if they're, you're welcome.
Okay, can it not?
Yes.
Okay. Pretty tough one to follow.
Now, my name is Dan O'Hara. I'm from NACNIC, and I'm representing myself to be governor. I think there's some concerns that we have about Prop 1, and I think that we have gone through 4 years of a very difficult time in the state of Alaska on finances, and we have lost a lot of services. I'll give you an example. You know, some of the police work in the state troopers have left villages, and it's very difficult to deal with. I think another thing that would be important, too, is I think it would probably cause a budget increase, and that is not something that we can afford right now. And the third thing, there's a great deal of bureaucracy involved in Prop 1, and I've looked at it quite seriously. And I'll give an example. We had several fisheries organizations, salmon organizations, over in NACNIC, and one of them wanted to got a hold of biologists and wanted to clean out all the overhanging brush and stuff along the river. And the Lions Club had just come in and taken out all the drums and all the debris, and it was a nice, clean river. And the biologist said, just leave that river alone. All of those things there are there for a reason. And that the point was that any part of that is used as the fish, well, not that part of prop is good. That's a good part of that proposition. And I think the one of the second things that I would be concerned about on Proposition 1 would be that when we have a massive system in Bristol Bay for our septic system, and probably 38 million salmon was processed over there, and we're in the process of changing that system, and the permitting system with Prop 1 I think would have a real impact on something like that, and that's one of the concerns that I have. we had 60 million. We quit conning fish in Bristol Bay at 60 million. The total run came out at about 64.5, and the runs were just fine. And so I would not be one who would be supporting Proposition 1. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. O'Hara.
Yep.
And you're speaking on behalf of yourself.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, thank you. Okay. We will now move forward with testimony continuing from the public. A Timothy Wongkola.
Thank you. Glad to meet you. My name is Timothy Wonhola. I was born here in 1946. I don't want to go on 2 minutes yet on that. Just an introduction of what I am.
Take your time.
I lived here 72 years as of today. My birthday today, such an exciting moment to make it happen with a lot of interesting people that are gonna help me out. Because I fear for the younger generations that are gonna fill my shoes one of these days. And I'm so proud of the well-being that we put on our table year after year. And it's always been that way. There's never have I seen a change because of the clean water. And everything needs clean water, including us. You know, we're probably the first in line. But then there's, when you say clean water, there's a lot of things that cannot speak for themselves, such as the water, such as the fish, such as the animals, birds, everything, aquatic life, you know, that that are in our streams. And I'm sorry to say some of the villages don't have an opportunity that I'm having today, is to speak out of what is right. And some people, our neighbors in other regions, cannot speak what they put on their table. And some of it is pretty sad. And today I'm glad for Lieutenant Governor and distinguished people that I know to help me try to put our culture not in jeopardy, but to move it ahead. Our culture is so important. It deals with younger generations that are gonna be after us. And I'd like to make some comments now on my testimony. Okay, here we go. Well, you guys heard a little bit of me. Now, on a scientific-based standards to support ADFNG, protecting our fisheries and balanced responsible resource development with protecting our fisheries for the future generations. Only 50% of the state's rivers that have salmon are currently protected under the current scheme. We need to ensure that all our salmon streams are protected through the presumption of an andrometry. Alaskans deserve to have a voice in the process of permitting. We need to clear we need to set a clear standards for assessing and mitigating impacts that we hold the development companies responsible for the impacts of our salmon. Salmon fishing provides jobs for more than 30,000 Alaskans and generates $2 billion in economic activity. While the fishing industry in Alaska provides $722 million in taxes that help pay for schools, police, health care, and infrastructure. Where am I now? When foreign mining corporations construct the mega development projects that are near our vital wild salmon habitat, that project damages to water and land resources. Alaskan taxpayers shouldn't be stuck with the bill to clean up the mess. This law would ensure that the foreign developers pay for the cost that would allow the Department of Fish and Games to issue fines and criminal penalties to protect and maintain Alaska salmon habitat. The measure would put into place modern scientific-based safety standards in common sense, accountability to protect Alaska jobs and help prevent major catastrophes. On large-scale development projects that could wipe out a huge portion of our state's wild salmon population. The measure was also specifically designed to ensure that the vital rural infrastructure projects, roads, airports, pipelines, and sewer and water facilities can move forward. Ballot Measure 1 is a responsible update to a 60-year-old law, giving Alaskans the voice in protecting our state's most vital natural resource, wild salmon. This needed update to the old law will help ensure we have common sense protecting in place so that nothing jeopardizes the cornerstone of Alaska economic and culture. This initiative of responsibility balances economic development with salmon habitat protection, creating clear and fair rules that will bring certainty and stability to major development projects. The initiative gives Alaskans an opportunity to provide input in major projects that would impact wild salmon habitat, increasing government transparency by requiring more public notification. Stand for Salmon has always support from many native tribes, Alaska Native tribes, commercial fishing vessels, and Alaska businesses and organizations from around the state. A few notes about the opposition. 48 Alaskans.
Tim, can you begin to summarize, please?
Yes. 48 Alaskans have donated directly for our state of Alaska. Over 1,000 Alaskans have supported Stand for Salmon. Stand for Alaska, the top donors or some of the largest resource development corporations in the world, from British Petroleum, ConocoPhillips, Pebble Mine, and more. Their goal is to confuse Alaskans, to get them to vote against their own interest. Thank you. Such a good birthday present.
Mary Wakala.
Hi, I'm Mary Wakala. I support our way of living with subsistence, and I had one. No mines around it, because we live off our native land, seeing there what we were taught and brought up by our parents. And we're not to quit. We don't want no pebbles, because it'll damage the rivers. We'll lose all our fishing. Whatever subsistence, we live off the land, off the earth. We gotta protect it from those mines. We don't want it. Our elders tell us to keep our subsistence way of life of living, to put food on the table for our kids and grandkids, and teach our kids to do the subsistence. I support to stand by. Say yes, I know, and now on number one. So keep our ways.
Thank you, Mary. Thomas Tilden.
Thank you very much for coming out to conduct this hearing. And my name is Thomas Tilden, and I'm a fisherman. I've been a fisherman all my life. My grandkids are my partners in my boat right now. But I want to talk about the Stand for Salmon initiative. I am definitely for it. I believe when I look at history of salmon across America and how it deteriorated, and I ask myself why did it deteriorate? And then I took a look at the laws that they had in place to protect their salmon. Same laws that we have here in the state of Alaska. Those laws were there to protect the salmon, but they went by one stream at a time. Development. Development stepped in and said, we need this coal. We need this timber. We need this ore. And those states let them go one by one. And we saw that here in Alaska with the Tsuchitna, I believe it was up way up north. We watched the state government say, yes, that's all right. This is just one little stream. It's salmon bearing, but coal is more important. So what we have here is a resource war going on. When you look at the money that's pouring into the state right now to fight this initiative, you see that the oil companies and the mining companies and the corporations are fighting it. And I think the big difference between them and us that live and depend on salmon is that we eat it. Corporations don't eat salmon. We as humans, we eat salmon. We as people, individuals. And I think that, you know, when I look at the impacts that the salmon have to go through right now, it's tremendous. It's an uphill battle for them already. When you look at what they have to conquer in the high seas, there was a boat recently caught out there with 80 tons of salmon on it. And that was just one boat that was caught. How many boats have not been caught? So we know that there's an illegal fishery going on in the high seas. And then, of course, there's lots of natural impacts to them. The whales, the belucas, the seals, and birds. And there's tremendous amount of impact to them, just for them to survive. In addition to me, as a fisherman, a subsistence fisherman, a commercial fisherman, they have to put up with me too. I am also an impact to them. But my fishing, my subsistence fishing, my commercial fishing is regulated. And it's to ensure that the salmon continue to come back. When I look at the rivers that have died, we have a river here called the Snake River. It's dead. When you go to and talk to the people in Klutna, I talk about how, when they talk about their ancestors, they talk about how their salmon used to thrive, and there's no more. What happened? You have to ask yourself, what happened? Why didn't the laws protect them? The laws are inadequate. And I believe that Ballot Measure 1 ensures and protects the salmon habitat. My daughter went to the Humboldt University in California, Northern California. The Humboldt University was founded on salmon. It was a salmon fishery university. And however, as I stated earlier, the laws were inadequate. The logging that happened in that area destroyed that salmon. It became a mining university over time. And we don't want that to happen. We want to make sure that the salmon that are out there now, are protected. Not just now. I mean, my grandma came from one of the poorest areas in the state. She came from Nelson Island up in the Kuskokwim area. And she came because there was an epidemic that happened in 1918, the Spanish flu. And then right after that Spanish flu, there was hunger. And so they moved. They moved here to Bristol Bay. And in her mind, and the things that she brought me up on, was that we were rich. We were rich because that salmon not only provided economics for us, but it also provided subsistence for us. It sustained us. And that's what we want to see to continue. I believe my grandma was absolutely right. We are rich in this resource. This is the last of the big salmon runs. If it doesn't have the extra protection that is offered by ballot measure number 1, it too can go by the wayside. I should be jumping up with joy at the fact that this last past year that there was millions of salmon that came into the Nooshinghak River. But I worry. I worry because I know that I lived up on the river system and I watched salmon come into some of those creeks and some of those areas where they spawn. And one of the things that happens when the salmon go in there and lay their eggs, the predators come in. You see the trout, you see the pike, you see the grayling, you see the suckers, you see the whitefish, they come in and they eat those salmon, eggs. So that tells me that this past year that the huge run that we had is going to increase those predators because those predators are rich and happy and fat because they had so many eggs to eat. And the bears are going to increase. But when the salmon go down just a little bit, the those predators are still going to be there. So I'm worried about the future. I look down the road 100 years from now for the state of Alaska. I want this because of the state of Alaska. As a state of Alaska resident, I look at our salmon is provided to the world. You could go to China and have Alaska salmon. You could go to Japan, Korea, England, South America, Mexico, you can have Alaska salmon. The world depends on the salmon. You could go anywhere in the United States, Florida, Washington, back east in Washington, D.C., at the metro station. All of that is available to us. Let's protect it so that it continues to, by passing ballot measure number one, we will ensure that there is adequate laws on the books to protect our salmon.
Thank you
very much.
Norman Van Baxter.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor, and welcome to Dillingham. Our community appreciates the opportunity to have forums like this so we can get our voices heard. This is not the first of a forum like this. This has been one of dozens of public hearings related to salmon protection issues that we've had in the region in the last decade. And we'll be here for more. First, I'd just like to make a couple brief comments on behalf of Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation. I am their CEO, and we represent 17 coastal communities extending from Togiak to the west, to Port Hyden on the Aleutian Chain, and our board and communities unanimously support the Stand for Salmon initiative and are urging our community members as much as they can to support it and to vote yes. As the previous speakers have mentioned, we've just experienced an incredible year in Bristol Bay. You know, well in excess of 60 million fish have returned. And while we are celebrating, in particular in this river system, most of the rest of the state is not celebrating. The communities of the Chignecks literally didn't have a fishing season at all, and even their subsistence fishery is in jeopardy. Nobody has the reasons why, and there's probably a variety of reasons, but without question, global warming and environmental impact issues are probably playing a major and contributing role. So for those reasons, you know, we had hopes that there was going to be a legislative, at least a partial legislative solution in Juneau the last couple of years. But it's also become quite apparent that the political resolve and the reality of coastal Alaska and rural Alaska and our representation and the votes that we represent at the state capitol don't provide us clarity and certainty and the security that we feel we need. And so for those reasons and many, many more, we feel that as an organization and as communities, we need to speak for the fish. Now on to some personal comments. 4 years ago, I had the honor of serving as your fisheries transition chair after the election. And the number one priority that our committee came forward with was, without question and unequivocally, was putting fish first. In any conversation, irregardless of the conversation, our request and our ask was that we put fish first. There's no question that in your administration we've made some significant strides in that direction, but we're a long way from really getting there. And we feel that what this salmon initiative does is it puts fish first. At this point, the presumption is that there are no fish in the stream unless it's documented in the Environmental Catalog. But what we're doing and what we're asking for through this initiative is changing that presumption around, that the assumption is that there are fish in a stream, and it is incumbent upon the developer to prove if in fact there are no fish in the stream, and if there are, how they are going to protect those fish through the course of the development. I've also become more active on this issue just recently, just because, quite frankly, of all the mistruths and misstatements that are being put out there. There's a, you know, a commercial that features Northern Air Cargo that talks about stopping runway development and roads. Well, nothing, anybody that really has looked at this thing, it could be farther from the truth. And the conspiracy theories abound about how it's going to impact commercial fisheries negatively and hatcheries. And it's a tribal takeover of comfish. Again, all flat out, quite frankly, lies. And so I urge everyone to really look at the initiative, read it for what it is, because it is one of those rare opportunities for us as individuals and as communities and as a state to put this resource first. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bender. Charlotte Smith. Oh, that was a no. I'm sorry. Not no on proposition. No, he chose not to speak. Paul C. Roll.
Hi, Byron. My name is Paul Roll. I could not expound on what this young lady has already said back here, so for the media to know, please, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Adolf Roll.
Okay, Byron, welcome to the Chukwuyum Nation. I know you probably don't know this, but I am the interim president of the Chukwuyum Elders Council that was formed this past winter. And we do have an official ambassador at the United Nations. His name is Ambassador Ronald Barnes. He's been in Geneva for 18 years, and I've been working with him for the last 14 years. But the Chukwuyum Elders Council is against the pebble mine, and Ambassador Barnes did call me yesterday and say that he did file intervention with the Human Rights Council of the United Nations against the pebble mine. And so that intervention is going through. And the state of Alaska and the U.S. government are close to being embarrassed at both the national and international level. So, in the meantime, vote yes on one.
Thank you so much. Ralph Anderson?
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Thank you for holding the public hearing.
I'd just like to say, Mr. Anderson, that Thomas Tilden used up 10 minutes of your two. So.
Oh, okay. I'll use up 10 minutes of the next person's. At the BB&A Board of Directors met yesterday, and they adopted Resolution 2018-06, a resolution supporting ballot measure number one, the Stand for Salmon Initiative, that I'd like to read into the record. Whereas the Bristol Bay Native Association is an Alaska Native regional nonprofit corporation and a tribal consortium which provides a variety of educational, social, economic, and related services to the Native people of Bristol Bay. And whereas the watershed of the Bristol Bay region, including the Chinook subregion, supports the world's most prolific wild salmon runs, a revered renewable resource that has been harvested sustainably for millennia and is central to the cultural traditions of diverse Alaska Native cultures in the region. And whereas BB&A wishes to reaffirm its support for habitat protections that will ensure the sustainability of salmon of all species for generations to come and sustain our cultural, traditional, spiritual, and economic well-being and way of life. And whereas BBNA recognizes the economic and community development is needed in rural Alaska for our tribal members to thrive, but believes development must be balanced with habitat protections that limit and mitigate harmful impacts to salmon resources. And whereas, although the 2018 inshore Bristol Bay sockeye salmon run of 62.3 million fish was the largest on record dating back to 1893, the Chinook fishery failed, and elsewhere in Alaska, 2018 was a poor year for salmon runs. And whereas Governor Walker declared an economic disaster for the Chinook fishery on August 23, 2018, since current harvest rates are low enough to threaten the community of Chinook, Chinook Bay, Chinook Lagoon, Chinook Lake, Perryville, and Ivanhoe Bay, and whereas Alaska's fish habitat permitting law does not have strong or clear enough language to protect salmon spawning and rearing grounds, and whereas the current law requires the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to approve proposals for projects in or near salmon streams unless the plans are, quote, insufficient for the proper mitigation of fish and game, unquote, per Alaska Statute 16.05.871, subsection D. And whereas the law does not define, quote, the proper protection of fish and game, unquote, and the resulting ambiguity has led to widely different interpretations by different state administrations. And whereas the existing law does not provide for public input or for a public input process on permit applications. And whereas the Alaska Board of Fisheries submitted a letter to the Alaska State Legislature in January of 2017 requesting that the habitat permitting law be updated if the legislature has not acted. And whereas supporters of better salmon protection have succeeded in getting a citizens ballot initiative, Stamp for Salmon, on the November general election ballot as ballot measure number one. And whereas ballot measure number one would improve the existing state fish habitat permitting law by establishing clear standards for projects and permitting activities that have potential to harm fish habitat, by defining the important characteristics of salmon habitats, by allowing ADF&G to apply the law to all habitats in Alaska that directly or indirectly support salmon or other anadromous fish, by providing for a public process for permit applications, by requiring the ADF&G to avoid or minimize adverse effects by mitigation measures and permit conditions, and by providing enforcement mechanisms once a permit has been issued. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Directors of the Bristol Bay Native Association. The Bristol Bay Native Association supports Ballot Measure 1, the Stamp for Salmon Initiative, amending the State of Alaska Fish Habitat Permitting Law. It's signed, Lieutenant Governor, by the Chairman of the Board, and attested by our Secretary. I will submit those for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Addison. That will be included in the record. All
right.
Representative Bryce Edgman. Welcome, Mr. Speaker.
I almost said thank you, Mr. Chairman. First off, I want to thank you for coming out to Bristol Bay to hold this hearing. You are not required to do so. Also want to extend my gratitude for the other hearings that you've held in coastal Alaska, where this initiative is particularly significant. Places like Sitka and Bethel and elsewhere where you've held hearings on. I'd also like to very quickly just sort of digress before I offer my comments and thank you, Lieutenant Governor Malott and Governor Walker, for your strong championing of rural Alaska rights. And the list is long, everything from tribal government to Medicaid expansion to power cost equalization, for funding for schools, for adequate support for the Department of Fish and Game, and for the rights of Alaska Natives to have equal access to voting And I think those issues are part and parcel of what we're talking about today, because really what we're talking about is the sustainability of rural Alaska when it comes to talking about fisheries habitat. Now, clearly, I've got constituents that are on both sides of this issue, but I'm confident in the end my district will support this initiative. And, you know, the question for us today is whether we as members of the public, you know, support or oppose a particular initiative at hand. But I could pose to you, and I, as I would pose to everyone else, the question really before us is, why haven't we done this before? Why haven't we had this conversation before? Why have we had to wait until 2018 when these laws have been on the books virtually since the times when sailboats ruled the bays here in Bristol Bay and the big canneries dominated? That's a long time ago. And I think the answer is pretty easy. The body politic in Alaska just has not allowed us to have this conversation. You and I, really, I wish I could be sitting here perhaps in a more structured environment like the Coastal Zone Management Program. But astonishingly, the legislature and the then governor decided to do away with a program that really had acted so capably to foster, you know, bringing differing parties together to protect habitat, but as well to allow responsible development to go forward. And as I pondered this issue, you know, maybe I could think that the legislature would take this issue up, but having been a member of the legislature for many years, I will tell you very emphatically, the legislature will never look at this issue with this level of scrutiny. Never. We had a bill up before the body last year that most of us knew was not going to pass the legislature. In any form, even in the reduced state that it was in April of 2018 when it last was heard. So that opportunity to me just would never exist. So I asked myself, this ballot initiative, which is imperfect, and ideally we should not be making complicated policy through a statewide ballot initiative like this, because it does deserve to go through the deliberative hearing process in the legislature. But the fact is, if I have to choose between putting into place overly restrictive law today that, in my view, will get modified, will get pulled back, will be deliberated in the legislature like it should have been all these years, that overly restrictive approach versus doing nothing at all and sort of keeping these 60-some-year-odd laws on the books when we know times are changing in Alaska. It is not only just big development, but it's also incremental encroachment upon a lot of areas that, as a previous speaker talked about, we don't even know if they're anadromous bearing streams at all, because a good three quarters of the streams, the water bodies in Alaska, have not been cataloged yet. The state just doesn't have the resources to do that. So lastly, I would offer that, you know, whether this initiative fails or whether it passes, I don't think it goes away. I think there's a groundswell of interest in the state of Alaska, and assuming the initiative fails, that groundswell support, which in my time in Juneau, I've seen it spans the entire ideological spectrum. It's not right wing, it's not left wing, it's not greenies, it's not urbanites, it's not Democrats, Republicans. It's a whole sort of collective effort throughout the entire state that want to see ironclad protections put in place for salmon habitat. But at the same time, we're a resource development state. We need to have development in order to keep progressing forward, whether it's the oil industry or whether it's responsible mining projects or whether it's projects at the municipal level or in the fishing industry or wherever it might be. So I'm going to conclude by saying that I support this ballot measure. I intend to vote for it. I intend to talk to my constituents about it. And more than that, I intend to advocate for its passage.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Those of you in the room know the Speaker of the Alaska House of Representatives is among the most powerful of our public servants. And Representative Edgman has been exemplary in that role. And I want to say, Mr. Speaker, that I hope you recognized how gently and lovingly I treated you, and that if I come before you talking about my budget, Thank you.
If I were to, the record could note that I was speaking as a representative for House District 37.
Okay. Representative Edgman was speaking for as the legislator from House District 37, and the record will note that. Dan Leyland.
Hi, I'm Dan Leyland. I'm an Alaskan resident. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Malott and University of Alaska, for hosting this hearing on the ballot measure one. Unfortunately, we the people of the state of Alaska are holding the responsibility of saving the world's last largest healthy population of natural run salmon. It is imperative to society and our culture that we take this responsibility seriously. This is why we must support the Stand for Salmon initiative. I will be voting for ballot measure one.
Thank you for your statement, Mr. Robin Samuelson.
Welcome to Bristol Bay.
Thank you, sir.
First of all, I got to tell you, I believe in the Lord. So therefore, Danny O'Hara, for what you said earlier, I'm not mad at you, and I'll let you survey my boat this spring. My name's Robin Samuelson. I'm born and raised in Dillingham. I've been involved in the fishery as a captain since I was 14. I started fishing a 22-foot Seymour skiff. My great-great-grandfather right across the river here had a saltery at Nishigak, one at Clark's Point that was named after him. His name was John W. Clark, and one down at Iggy. He had some money in the first cannery ever built in Bristol Bay. So my family's been involved in the fishery since the start of the fishery. I have grandsons, four of them fished the stern of my boat this year, and one of them's got a Bristol Bay permit at 19 years old. Lieutenant Governor, the state of Alaska has screwed the people of Bristol Bay. We had coastal zone management that was working for us. And then we had two administrations, Republican administrations, that changed the classification of the land up there and allowed mining to come in. We've been waiting for the state to do something to reinstitute coastal zone management, do something so that mine wouldn't happen. Our people in our villages, 95% of them oppose the pebble mine. We support what we have here, and we want to protect it. Our habitat and our fish, that's what we have. That's our gold mine. Nothing's coming from the state. Absolutely not a damn thing coming from the state. We have no option but to support option one. If option one passes, glory hallelujah. If option one fails, we'll be back. We will be back. We're not going to let a goddamn mining company, a foreign mining company, come in and take away our God-given right. Our ecosystem out here and our fish are too damn important for our future generations and the generation that is sitting here. No matter how bad the bill is, it's better than what we have on the books today. Go ask the Board of Fish. I was on the Board of Fish. I was on the North Pacific Management Council. The regulatory cycles. I know the powers of a Board of Fish member, and their powers are getting more and more squished where they can't act. You need to replace some of them assholes on that Board of Fish too. They don't listen to real Alaska. I support Proposition 1, and I hope to God it passes. And like I said earlier, if it doesn't, by God, we're coming back. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Alana Hurley.
Creeped up behind you there. For the record, my name is Alana Hurley. My name is Acha. and I'll be testifying first on behalf of United Tribes of Bristol Bay and then on behalf of myself. First, United Tribes of Bristol Bay is a tribally chartered consortium made up of 15 Bristol Bay tribes who have united to protect our way of life, the Yupik, Dena, and Aleutic people who have been here since time immemorial. Our people have been united for over a decade in our effort to protect our watershed and our fish. United Tribes of Bristol Bay has been in support of the Stand for Salmon initiative from fairly early on. There is no way that United Tribes of Bristol Bay would have signed on to an initiative that would unnecessarily restrict rural communities from putting in further infrastructure, getting access to running water. All of that is simply not true. We know and have lived why this initiative is necessary. Let's back up 10 years. Our tribe sued the state of Alaska just for the simple right to know and get public notice when the Pebble Limited Partnership was applying for these permits. Our tribes and other entities paid hundreds of thousands of dollars that we should not have had to pay to prove that there were fish and salmon spawning trees in our upper watershed that the Pebble Limited Partnership had said there weren't fish in. We have lived why we need this law. We support ballot measure one fully, and we do that because it's not asking for anything radical. All we are asking for is balance. Balance that our region has fought for over a decade. All ballot measure one would do is create standards, accountability, and enforce the public's right to know what is happening in areas that will impact them and have a voice in that process. And for an administration that has done a really good job promoting transparency and involvement and the voice of Alaskans, we urge people to vote for ballot measure one and to vote yes. It's very hard for us to understand why we would not want our voice included in this process. With that, I'm going to just say a few words on behalf of myself. I too am a longtime commercial fisherman, not as long as many of the people in this room, but I come from a long line of subsistence fishermen. And what I truly don't understand is why are people more regulated than these mega companies coming in to make money off of Alaska and not giving back? Subsistence fishermen and hunters and gatherers are told how and when and where and what we can hunt and fish, and yet the standards for these types of companies don't even exist. The proper protection of fish and game is the only line that guides the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in this process. So I don't understand why there is this uproar when people are more heavily regulated than mega industries coming in to pillage Alaska. All we're trying to do is protect what we have and ask for some balance. All this initiative does is say, if you're going to develop in fish habitat, please be careful and do it in a way that doesn't impact the people that support or depend on those fish. And if the impact is too great to those people who have depended on fish for thousands of years, those projects should not happen. Balance and equity is all people are asking for. Please vote yes. Vote yes for the people of Alaska to have a voice in these projects that have the potential to really, really impact their lives and the lives for the people that are coming after us. Thank you.
Thank you, Alana. Lindsay Leyland.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor. Thank you for being here this afternoon. My name is Lindsay Leyland. I'm a resident of Dillingham. I also work for United Tribes of Bristol Bay, but I'll be speaking on behalf of myself. I would just like to state my support for ballot measure one, and I'll keep it specific to one point here, and that is the public input part of this process that would be allowed that currently isn't. Under current law, when a major development project receives a permit from the Department of Fish and Game, there are no legal avenues for a concerned or affected citizen stakeholders to challenge that permit issuance. On the other hand, under current law, when a major development permit is denied, a major development project is denied a permit, the applicant does have the legal standing to challenge that decision. So what's really concerning to me is that currently, individuals like myself, when a major permit for a development project, like, let's say, Pebble, for example, is issued, I have no say. I have no opportunity to weigh in on that. But when, for example, if Pebble were to receive that permit under the current law, they would be able to challenge it, which to me is really concerning as a public participant, someone who wants to engage in this process. So for that reason alone, I think we should all be invested in and in favor of ballot measure one. There are, of course, a multitude of issues that are outlined in this proposal that make it worthy. But another piece is that, as Norm mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of the opposition position is that warming ocean waters are what are affecting salmon runs, not habitat. But I think, doesn't it make sense for us to improve and protect the habitat as best as possible so that when those salmon that are able to make it back to their rearing streams, when those salmon do come back to their habitat, that habitat is intact and pristine and hospitable for reproduction and growth and all of that. When we look at the lower 48 and other places across the planet that have destroyed their salmon habitat and they don't have the returns that we do, is just another example. So I'm in support of ballot measure one, and we'll be voting that way in November, and I encourage others in the room to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Caleb West.
I didn't want to testify. I'm just here to listen. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. Ben, you've already testified. Okay. Want to see if you're aware. Ralph Andrew?
Sir, I'll be submitting written testimony.
Okay, sorry, I didn't see the name. Catherine Kerskellen? Was that close?
That was close. That was right on, actually. My name's Catherine Kerskellen. And I just want to say good afternoon and thank you very much, Lieutenant Governor, for being here and listening to our testimony today. My name's Catherine. I was born and raised here in Dillingham and grew up as a commercial fisherman, raised by two commercial fishermen. My mom actually used to fish in Puget Sound in Washington. And when that fishery suffered from the trade-offs made on the West Coast, there was no longer a place for her in that fishery. And Bristol Bay provided a second chance for her to remain a fisherman. Like everyone in this room, these fish have supported me my entire life, and we do not have the option to mess that up, because this is our home, and there are no second chances here. I just read in the handout back there that ADF&G has no concerns about the current permitting system's ability to protect anadromous fish habitat. To me, that demonstrates the need for changes. I have no doubt that individuals within the Department of Fish and Game do have concerns, I'm sure huge concerns, but the fact that this department cannot even express those concerns is a real problem. Water is the basis of life, and salmon carry and spread that life throughout our state. Every plant, animal, and person that you see here exists thanks to the generations of salmon that built this ecosystem. If we continue to take this for granted and do not prioritize and respect the needs of these salmon, then we'll end up exactly like California and Washington, Oregon, Canada, and Europe. The state of Alaska has the opportunity to continue in the path Bristol Bay's ancestors have laid out and be an example to the world. As fishermen, both subsistence and commercial, we follow the most strict sustainable management system of our fisheries. But there's a huge hole where other industries are concerned. in the system, and this initiative is aimed at fixing that, and it's a good start. Handing over our resources and trading away the habitat we have to the short-term profits of corporations and one generation's worth of wealth is a crime against past, present, and future generations. I'll be supporting this initiative as a good first step. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Governor Wilson.
He's on his way. He'll be here in about 5 minutes, he said.
Okay. Michelle Smith.
But I am a Toluyung tribal member. And I don't have anything written. I can only speak from my heart and my soul about how important it is to protect our water and our salmon. I was really takaryuk to talk today because I get like super anxious speaking in front of people, but I'm in a position where I'm a mother, hopefully not anytime really soon, going to be a grandmother, but it'll come, it'll happen one day. And I think about what my mother, Ayakak, my grandparents, Alak, and Ivasak Tubishuk, and my great-grandmother, Ilungak, all the important things they instilled in me and our family, and how very important salmon has been to our family. I just don't see any other way other than to speak up and try to protect what was passed on to this generation and what was so very important for so many of my family members and so many generations for Yupik people. I need to be that voice for my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids. I would like to be able to pass down the tradition of cutting fish and putting away fish. And I do get concerned about what our future would be like if we didn't try to protect the water and the salmon. So I do support ballot one. Thank you.
Thank you. Michelle was the last on the list.
Werner's here.
Oh, okay. Werner.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor. Thank you very much for coming to Dillingham. My name is Werner Wilson III. I was born and raised here. My family has a fishing boat, fishing permit here in Bristol Bay, and we do a lot of subsistence fishing like my ancestors have for thousands of years and a lot of people here. I have my bachelor's degree in environmental studies from Brown University, and I also have a master's in environmental management from Yale. My studies were on this very topic of mine permitting. When I was a teenager, we first heard of pebble mine. And made me curious how we could be involved with this critical decision whether or not this mine moves forward. And after 6 years of studying, which included learning about the laws, reviewing case studies, visiting mines around the world, including in Chile, Australia, Utah, and other places, and talking with experts, I realized that Alaska's laws are insufficient to protect our salmon's habitat. So that's why I fully support this initiative. I am very concerned that at the federal level, there's an effort to fast track the process to permit pebble, despite EPA's peer-reviewed study showing it could cause irreparable damage to our area and the world's last great wild salmon fishery. We are also potentially having a governor named Dunleavy, who is taking a lot of cash from the Pebble Partnership. And so this is shaping up to be a perfect storm that could allow this very unpopular, destructive project to be rammed through. And so that brings the urgency to this initiative. We need security for our fisheries, a more robust public and scientific review process, and financial guarantees through bonding by companies that are trying to create toxic waste in salmon waterways. So I hope my fellow Alaskans will join me in helping to protect fishing families and future generations and vote yes on this initiative. Liana, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The hearing is scheduled to go until 4. We have no others signed up at this moment, so we will stand in recess in anticipation of the possibility of others coming in before 4 o'clock. So at this time, we'll stand in recess. Okay, the hearing is called back to order. Mike Davis has signed up to testify. Mr. Davis.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for the opportunity. For the record, my name is Mike Davis, and I am a commercial fisherman and recently retired from the University of Alaska, Bristol Bay campus. Yeah, I still teach a few classes, so. But, and during my tenure as a faculty member here in this community, we have had a number of classes for people to get educated on the proposed mine and what are the rights are of citizens and how to be involved. And actually, I was pleased to see some of the people that have taken classes from me in the past have actually had the opportunity to participate in this hearing today and to express their concerns and their support for this initiative. And and I also appreciated the remarks by Representative Edgeman because it's very difficult to get legislation that's going to provide adequate protection for the fishery. And I think that's the reason for this citizens' initiative and the reason why people are concerned and want added protection and some kind of teeth in the regulations. And for that, I'm glad that people gathered together to introduce this initiative for the citizens of the state of Alaska to have a voice in protecting this resource. And I just want to associate myself with the fine remarks that were here today and say that I'm also in support of this initiative. And again, thank you for providing an opportunity for people to express their concerns and their support. So appreciate you making that effort.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Thomas Tilden had earlier testified on behalf of himself. I understand that he wishes to testify on behalf of the tribal council.
He's there.
Can I do that?
I'm sorry?
Can I do that?
Yes.
I didn't know we could have seconds.
Thank you very much, Byron. And I just want to say that our tribe has taken a stand against the. I'm sorry. Our tribe has taken a stand for ballot measure number one, and our tribe here in Bristol Bay is the largest tribe, and we definitely depend on subsistence as a way of life. And our members are also fishermen. And I think it's important to point that out, that without salmon, we're nothing as a tribe. We have a cultural class in the summertime where we teach our children how to put up salmon in different ways. By smoking, by canning, by freezing, by salting, and then at the end of the season we have a huge potluck where the kids are then able to give to the elders all of the product that they make, and it's just so that they can continue our heritage, our way of life, and keep our cultural life. And I think it's really important that they continue to be able to do that every year. because I really firmly believe the salmon are who we are. We use salmon, every potluck you go to, you will see salmon, even in the spring, you know, before the salmon even come. And a lot of our members are Russian Orthodox, and on January 19, the Orthodox Church has a special day where they go out and they bless all the rivers and lakes and hold a ceremony so that the fish will come back. And they do this, creating holy water, and so it's it has religious effects to us as well. And I know that we all anticipate waiting for the first salmon to come in the spring, and that first salmon is given to the elders, because by giving it to the elders, it gives them hope, it refreshes them, it makes them stronger. And if you ever saw, if you ever came to one of our potlucks and saw the smiles on the elders' faces when they received that salmon from the kids, or that first salmon in the springtime, it just has tremendous healing effect, positive effect to us as people and in our culture. And so on behalf of our tribe, I want to say that we are definitely in favor of ballot measure number one. And then I also want to apologize for going over this morning. I didn't realize, I wasn't watching the time, but I did try to squeeze as much as I could, and I did eliminate some stuff, so I apologize for that. But thank you very much for coming out. And
thank you, Tom.
Having this process here.
No need to apologize. Your voice is an important one. Deserves to be fully heard. I'm going to close the hearing in just a moment. I do want to say that on an issue such as this, particularly this initiative, to not have had such a hearing in Dillingham would have been a huge disservice to Alaska, not just the people of this region, but to our entire state. I felt the same way about Sitka, not that I point those two communities out to the exclusion of others, but these two communities represent not just single communities, but significant regions, people who are passionate about the issues that are being addressed. I feel privileged that I was able to select these two communities for these hearings. And with that, I will declare this hearing adjourned. There will be one additional hearing upcoming on Saturday, October 13th, which will be a statewide teleconference. And there will be opportunities for folks to call in for that hearing. For the third time, this hearing is adjourned.